Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
The remote camera doesn't want to work tonight. We'll see what we can do here. Anything? Something? I don't know. We'll make it work. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Oh, goodness. That camera's awful. Ryan, what's going on here?
Earthquake test.
You're supposed to be helping. I'll figure it out in the commercial break. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. That's Rhino down there in Studio X. He has no control over the visuals, so that's not his fault. Again, we are blaming Robbie Falk. He moved my camera on Monday. If you listen to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, you heard me speak about it, and it's just been messed up ever since. Way to go, Robbie. Jeez Louise. We are brought to you by our good friends over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com, my hometown. And we have got a random Wednesday in March, this is a loaded show. We got plenty to talk about from a Mississippi State perspective. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that once again, that scalawag, Richard Cross, gave us no publicity as we led into this show. All right, he had to get in his hot dogging and his grandstanding, but no mention of Thunder and Lightning. Now he's on vacation. You can't even reach him. His phone's already disconnected. Incredible. Who's that guy think he is? Well, so be it. We press on without him here on Thunder and Lightning. 2 hours from right about right now, Mississippi State will hit the court and tip off against a Texas A&M team that will provide them with a chance to seal the deal, to put the stamp on their invitation to the big dance. A win, and they are in. Simple as that. They're in right now. They're in right now. Their net is 33, but a quad one win on the road would put them back into the 20s for net. And it would just be done, and you can play your game Saturday, and you can play your games next week in the SEC tournament for the purposes of improving your seed. And Mississippi State got a bit of, I hate to say the words good news when a player has been injured, so I won't refer to it as that. But Mississippi State got news that Texas A&M's leading, one of their leading scorers and rebounders, Henry Coleman, not playing tonight, 10.7 rebounds a game. That guy is on the bench with an injury. And so Mississippi State, a team that, you know, tends to have an advantage in the post against most teams it plays, will have an even greater one tonight, and hopefully they can take advantage of that. You know, Tolu Smith has had good games the past few weeks, had a good game against Kentucky, had a good game scoring-wise against Auburn, both in defeat. But his performance, he's reached the kind of consistency that I think, you know, if you could go back and let him play in the non-conference, he might have hit this a little bit earlier than he did. I think right now he's playing some of his best basketball, as is Josh Hubbard. Hubbard, three straight games of leading State in scoring, had 2 30-point games in his last three. So a lot of things firing for Mississippi State, but what they've got to have tonight against Texas A&M is what's been their formula for success. Is who around those two guys, who around Tolu Smith and Josh Hubbard, are providing anything. And, you know, you didn't have that on Saturday at Auburn. Nobody else with more than 6 points. You've got to have Cam Matthews pushing double figures in points and rebounds. You need to have Shaq Moore pushing double figures. And then somebody else, preferably, a Keyshawn Murphy, maybe a Deshaun Davis. Something like that. And that's when Mississippi State's going to be at its best. Tolu and Josh Hubbard can't carry the team in all of these games. They've got to have some help. They've gotten it for the most part these past few weeks. During that 5-game winning streak State was on before the Kentucky game, they were certainly getting it from them. They were getting a lot of offensive work. But this is a big game for Mississippi State tonight. It's not must win. And I don't know for sure I don't know for sure that a loss makes Saturday must win. But what I will say is, you don't, you know, you, let's say you lose this week, these two games, and then you lose your first game in Nashville. You're on a five-game losing streak. That's not an attractive thing for the NCAA tournament. It would put you very much in the bubble discussion. Whereas a win just ends it. A win and Saturday becomes no pressure. We're in. Let's just play our best basketball game and see if we can't knock off South Carolina and you know, revenge the loss that you had earlier in the season. That's what Mississippi State would be thinking in that scenario. I will say this. This team, I'm simultaneously, you know, I feel like they've underachieved and overachieved at times. I feel like they've underachieved because I thought they would be a little more in contention for an SEC championship. They're not. But at the same time, a guy like Andrew Taylor, who I think everybody who follows Mississippi State and covers Mississippi State thought would be a key cog for that team. Coming in from Marshall, averaging 20 points a game, you thought that's a guy who's going to be a difference maker and give State a dimension they didn't have this year. He and Hubbard will be big players for Mississippi State. And then you don't get that at all. You get literally nothing out of him. To be able to put that behind you and continue winning games, I think, is an impressive coaching job by Chris Chance. Taylor, by the way, back in the transfer portal, I have to assume he will claim something along the lines of his mental health precluded him from playing this year, and thus he had to he deserves another year. He'll probably get it, and if he does, so be it. It matters. I won't be at Mississippi State, so we'll see how that goes. But he was a grad transfer this year. He shouldn't have any more eligibility, but he does. He, you know, this is the new era of sports in the NCAA. Everybody's got eligibility. You listening at home right now, you have eligibility. Go play a sport. Nobody's going to say, and I don't care who you are. You could be DeSenzo Miller listening to me right now. You've still got eligibility. Get back on the field if you want to. This basketball team's been kind of fun to cover. Different than last year. Last year was such a surprise for that team to be successful. And the way they played, something about it was perversely attractive. They were just disgusting to watch. They were the worst offensive team I've ever seen, but they played defense so hard that they were able to win games. This year, the defense is still there, but it's not the same level of intensity. But it's still a good defense. The difference is they have more scorers. Hubbard, obviously, has added a ton, but Shaq Moore and Cam Matthews have become much more consistent guys for Mississippi State. Guys, I feel like you can rely on those guys. I feel like a game like last Saturday against Auburn, I'm disappointed that Shaq Moore and Cam Matthews don't deliver the way they had before. That's an issue. That's why State doesn't win. You know, it's not where you're pleasantly surprised. Oh, Cam Matthews had 13 points tonight? Great. That's huge. No wonder State won. It's got to be more of, oh, he had 13 points. Oh, good. That's about what I would expect from him. So we'll see. Big game. Big game for Mississippi State. Big week of games. And you look at South Carolina, could very easily be coming to Starkville playing for the SEC championship. They're hosting Tennessee tonight. I believe they are one game back of the Volunteers currently. That game is very, very early in the game with Tennessee leading. But if they win that game, they're right there with Tennessee. There's a scenario with a five-way tie for first. We could end up with that. I don't think we're going to get there. I think it'll all sort itself out by the end of this. But South Carolina with a win could come to Starkville in needing a win to clinch the SEC championship. They were predicted dead last in the SEC, and they might win the championship. So that's a very I can't. When you think about power conferences, how rare is that? That a team predicted last in anything would turn around and win the conference. Could happen. And, you know, State already playing at South Carolina, I thought had a great chance to beat them there. Couldn't get the job done, but I think they'll have a chance this weekend as well. State's schedule turned, by the way, prior to the season, when you look, you're like, they get to play South Carolina and Ole Miss twice? Man, that's four pretty easy games for State. And then it turned into South Carolina may win the conference, and Ole Miss came out of nowhere to win 20 games. And then, oh, by the way, you also have to play Alabama and Kentucky twice as well. So the schedule makers thought they were doing State a favor at the beginning of the year. It turned out to be no favor at all when it was all said and done. So, and that's one of the reasons State's going to be in. It's because they've played a very difficult schedule. They've beaten Ole Miss. They've beaten Tennessee. They've beaten Auburn. They've beaten Washington State, who is sort of a surprise, going to end up winning the Pac-12 probably. State needs Northwestern to get a win. I think they play tonight against Michigan State. That would be a quad two win for them. That might push them back into the top 50 and give State another quad one win. The fluidity of the quads is something I have trouble keeping up with. What it was, a quad one win today becomes a quad two win tomorrow. But, you know, you got to really keep on your toes and keep an eye on what's happening in college baseball or basketball. I was a little Freudian slip because we're going to talk about baseball in just a minute. State's on a winning streak. Does it mean anything? Should I become more positive? I don't know. Let's talk about that when we come back. Talk about the win last night over Southern Mississippi in Pearl. We'll do that in just a moment. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Point out that I've done all of today's shows with a sinus infection, in case you're wondering who the real heroes are out here. That's me. Also, if there's any doctors listening, I think I have carpal tunnel. Like, it hurts from like the top of my thumb to like the middle of my wrist. If anybody wants to do WebMD that for me, I'd appreciate it. This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast because we got great stuff going on there. We've got five shows a week, plus this show, plus a lot of great interviews. Friday, we'll have an interview with AL.com's Nick Alvarez. We're starting our spring football wraparound, starting with the Alabama Crimson Tide. But more importantly than that, we'll have a talk with Mississippi State head football coach Jeff Lebby. 2 weeks from the start of spring practice here in Starkville. Let's talk to the Bulldog head man, see what's going on there. So that will all be available to you on the podcast feed. Subscribe, rate it, five stars. Five stars. Don't short me a star. And, yeah, of course, we have a lot of great podcasts here at Super Talk, the Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour, and, of course, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. Also want to mention, if you're listening to me right now and your Super Talk affiliate is normally an Ole Miss baseball affiliate, you're going to lose me at the end of this segment, and they're going to go over to Ole Miss Baseball. But we will have this show in its entirety available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, so you can always go back and listen to it, whatever you miss. And you won't want to miss it, because that's when we're going to talk about Zach Arnett. You want to be around for that. You want to hear that. But let's start with baseball. Let's talk baseball. You got to give credit where credit's due. You know, six wins in a row. You go down to Pearl, you beat USM for the second season in a row, and you do so in a manner that I don't think you could have done a year ago. And that's, you got eight innings of scoreless relief. State falls behind 4-0 in the first inning, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a really long night for Mississippi State. And instead, their bullpen comes in and completely shuts that Golden Eagle offense down. And then State finds some timely hitting there, most of it from Dakota Jordan, who had 3 RBI, including the game winner with that monster home run to right center. That's a big ballpark. It's tough to get the ball out of there when you pull it. To go opposite field, that's big power from Dakota Jordan. And State gets the win. 5-4 is the final score. And like I said, they've won 6 in a row. They play an Evansville team that, if you listen to Kendall Rogers on Tuesday, Sports Talk Mississippi, he talked about them a little bit, that they're going to be, you know, a decent mid-major team. And then next week, boom, you're off and running in SEC play with the reigning national champions, the LSU Tigers. We talked a lot in the preseason about this non-conference schedule was designed to pile up wins and get some momentum so that when you got to non-conference play, you already had, 15, 16 wins. It's not going to work out that way for Mississippi State. They could have 12 wins, but you would have liked to have had more. And, obviously I still have a lot of concerns. This is a team that was swept by Austin Peay at home. They've lost to Air Force. They've lost to Georgia Southern. These are not going to be good quality losses at the end of the season. Those will be sub 100, maybe even sub 150 losses in the RPI. But State has made improvements in the area that killed them the most the last year, and that's putting guys on base for free. And that's a two-part solution. They've stopped walking guys, and they've stopped committing so many errors. I mentioned it to Lemonis on Monday that through 12 games a season ago, his team had 20 errors. This season, they have 10. So they've gone from almost two errors a game to less than one error a game. That's huge. The walks, we've talked about that quite a bit. They've really cut those down. I just use this game as an example from a year ago. State, even in victory, walked 11 to Golden Eagles. This year they walked 3 and only 1 after the first inning. So I asked Lemonis about that. I said, it's a similar start to a season ago. Last year you were 7-5. This year you're 8-4. Win-loss record, not a huge difference. What's different about this team? Why are you positive going forward? And he said, it's because we're playing good defense and we're pitching. And, I think in this day and age, not only of college baseball, but of baseball, we have really gotten away from that's what baseball is. It's pitching and defense. Teams that can pitch and teams that don't give away free bases can win more often than not. Now, it's not ideal for State that their offense has not been at the level I thought it was going to be. If you had told me State's offensive stats to this point without telling me the pitching, I would have said, gosh, they might only have 2 wins. Because I could not have foreseen the improvement in the pitching that they've had. State has 7 home runs on the year, 5 of them from one guy, Dakota Jordan. If you really could have gotten me if you said that 12, 13 games in, Hunter Hines wasn't going to have a home run. I can't believe that he hasn't done that. Which means if things regress to the mean, when conference play starts up, he's going to have like 25 of them. And that'll be great for Mississippi State because that'll be a big spark. Jordan is playing really well. Amani Larry's playing pretty well. And now getting David Mershon back in, the guy looks like Rowdy Jordan with bigger hair, but plays like him too. He is the kind of player that Mississippi State has gotten and had on their most successful teams for 4 decades. A dirtbag, in the most positive sense of that word. A guy that, isn't afraid to get his uniform dirty, isn't afraid to do all the little things you need for victory. Mershon is that kind of guy. Bryce Chance is that kind of guy too. I just don't know that if he's as talented as Mershon, but he's talented. Don't get me wrong. He can hit the ball. I feel like Chance, Hines, those guys will start hitting a little bit. So the top of your order is very solid. Kohler is a solid enough hitter as well over there at third. And Kohler's emergence has been one of the big deals for the defense. If you saw the play that he made last weekend where he snagged that ball down the line and threw it across to first, that's a double a season ago. Slade Alford's not getting that ball. So defensively, he's added a lot, but he's added enough with the bat. And I know this is college baseball. You very rarely in college baseball do you have a lineup 1-9 that's just they're all raking. It just doesn't happen that often. The teams that have that are the teams that compete for championships. So, if you have a couple of guys in there. Now, the fact that your center fielder's not hitting, that's an issue. Because center field is an offensive position. That's a position where you expect somebody to be able to hit. Excuse me, guys. Well over 300. Hijack hasn't been giving you that. I don't know if they need to look at another guy. If they do, it'll be a freshman. I don't know if they move DJ to center and let Nolan Stevens go to right. I don't know the answer there. But you got to find an answer there because you can't have your center fielder not hitting. They didn't pursue a center fielder in the offseason as much as they might have wanted to, especially once Braden Montgomery, it was obvious he wasn't coming. because they felt good about Connor Hijack. He needs to deliver on that faith that Chris Lamona showed him. So I'm very interested to see what these next, you know, six games, or I guess eight games, look like for Mississippi State, because they have the two in the midweek next week with the trip down to Biloxi. And can they, you know, they need to sweep this weekend. Another undefeated weekend. Now you're on a nine-game winning streak. Again, I don't take anything from that and say, okay, they're back, they're fine, I won't go there. But we'll say that's, you're winning. You're winning games you should be winning. Then you get two more down on the coast, and then you come back for a series against a team that you haven't won a series against in Starkville since 2003, I think is the answer. It's been a long, long time since State beat LSU, which is funny because they've won series down in Baton Rouge, but they can't beat them in Starkville for whatever reason. I think if you just get a win, I think in State's first nine conference games, if they get three wins, they're doing okay. They're doing okay to be 3-6. And before you say anything, remember they were 0-9 a season ago. So just getting that improvement to get to three wins, then you got to win 11 the rest of the way. 11 out of, do the math, Brian, 11 out of 21. Is that right? Yeah. If you can do that. No, that's not right, Brian. Yes, it is. Yeah, I did good. I did good. I'm good. It's okay. This is a sports show, not a math show. So, hey, I want to remind you guys that we are sponsored by Visit Vicksburg. And this weekend in Vicksburg, it's the second Saturday in Vicksburg. So March 9th, 1 to 4, downtown Vicksburg. Shopping, live music, artists and artisans will have booths set up, and a lot more. For more information, follow at Vicksburg Second Saturday. That's three words, but all put together on Facebook, or email Vicksburg Second Saturday. The second there is the 2ND at gmail.com. You get a lot more information about what's going on the second Saturday in Vicksburg. We're losing you if you're going to Ole Miss baseball, but if we're not, let's talk about Zach Arnett when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, brought to you by our friends over at Visit Vicksburg. The Classic Sip Fest next weekend in Vicksburg, March 11th through 17th, celebrating the 130th anniversary of the bottling of Coca-Cola, which was first bottled in the city of Vicksburg. I don't know if you knew that or not. So, a week-long event. There's a kickoff party at the Biedenhorn Coca-Cola Museum on March 11th. The Classic Sip Stroll over the Mississippi River on the old Mississippi River Bridge. On March 15th, I'm old enough to remember when that was just the Mississippi River Bridge. And the Classic Wheel Show at Washington Street Park on March the 16th. For more information, visit Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg. That's cruel. Who wrote the script here? Visit Vicksburg. Come on, help me out here. Go to visitvicksburg.com or visit Vicksburg on all social media platforms. They say, you know, Mississippi State likes we don't have fans, we have family. Family's a big one. And everybody does it, right? It's not just a Mississippi State thing. Everybody talks about family, right? You know, and they say you can't change families. Evidently you can. Because this offseason has been one for the books on the Egg Bowl rivalry, people switching sides. You know? Malik Heath did it a few years ago. DeCameron Richardson did it for a week and two days, I think. Then Bradley Soule makes the jump from Ole Miss to Mississippi State. Former Ole Miss Rebel, now Mississippi State analyst. But Ole Miss may have got the trump card. They may have checkmated the transfer portal, the going back and forth here. Former Mississippi State head coach Zach Arnett announced today as a new analyst at Ole Miss. Now, there's two or three points I want to try to get to here. Let's see if I can make it happen. Number one, there are a lot of Mississippi State fans who like Mississippi State employees more than they like Mississippi State. And so that's why I don't have an issue being critical of coaches. They work for Mississippi State. And you can't tell you the number of people who are just like, they want to get on me because I get on coaches. Guys, that's my job. My job is to get on coaches. This coach's job is to win. So, yeah, coaches come and go. I stay right here. Two, Mississippi State fired Zach Arnett. If he wants to take another job, that's his pleasure. That's his directive. I don't care. I don't have an issue with it. And it, from a football perspective, makes a lot of sense for Ole Miss. I think that you look at Zach Arnett, and that's a guy whose defenses, even though he wasn't coaching this year when the Egg Bowl was played, that's still his defense out there. Guys he recruited and guys that he coached, that was still his system that Matt Brock was running. And the last two Egg Bowls, State has done a pretty good job against Ole Miss, slowing them down. An Ole Miss offense that has run up points on just about everybody they've played, not so much against Mississippi State. So you bring in Arnett, and that's a guy who can help you self-scout if you're Lane Kiffin. And you look at him and you say, all right, this is what I like to do here. Here's my formation. Here's my personnel. You stop this play. What did you see? What did I do wrong? And Arnett can give you those answers. At the same time, he's a good defensive coach, so he can help you and he can help Pete Golding. If you're a Mississippi State fan, you're like, oh, gosh, he knows person. It's all new schemes. If Brock were still there, if Barbet were still there, maybe you would be concerned. But Lebby and Hutzler, he's not going to have the knowledge of calls and packages and things like that. Somebody made the comment about, he knows about NIL and what State spent. In a way, yes, but since Arnett's been fired, State's raised about $5 million, $6 million in NIL. So the numbers before he left and the numbers after he left are totally different. So that doesn't concern me at all. That's not a concern for me. From a football perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Third thing is this. It was a troll. It's a troll. Kiffin is the master. I give full credit to Lane Kiffin. Troll master. Nobody better. 10 years ago, Lane Kiffin would have been some guy like on Reddit in his mom's basement. That's how much of a troll he is. Now he makes $9 million a year. The best. Good football coach, too. A lot of hurt feelings today on social media. And I get it. I get it. And this is the difference between fans and why is he not getting a defensive coordinator job? Maybe nobody wanted to hire him for one. So he didn't get the offer he wanted. Fans want their players, their coaches, everybody to hate their rival as much as they do. And it's just not that way. When you think about the players, most of those guys know each other, right? They went to the same camps. They went on official visits together. Some of them go to State. Some of them go to Ole Miss. But those relationships remain. You got a lot of, former teammates that play against each other. One's at State, one's at Ole Miss. Coaches, goodness gracious, guys. Lebby, Hutzler, David Turner. Is anybody else trying to think of the State's offensive staff? I think Holacek was at Ole Miss, too. So State's got four coaches who've coached at Ole Miss. In recent years, Terrell Buckley went from Starkville to Oxford. Deke Adams went from Starkville to Oxford. Tony Hughes coached at State, Ole Miss, and USM. Melvin Smith going back a ways. Jolie Dunn was a former head coach at Ole Miss for a season and ended up going to Mississippi State. It's a job to them. They don't have the same loyalties for the most part. You'll have some differences, obviously. You know, I don't think Nick Saban's going to wake up tomorrow and be like, hey, I want to go coach at Auburn. But for the most part, it's just a job to these guys. And so they go where the best opportunities are. I think I talked about this today it'll be on tomorrow's podcast. But when I was in Oxford for the basketball game, I ran into former MSU punter Cody Stecksnader, who's now an assistant coach at Ole Miss. And it was weird seeing him because he's decked out in red and blue. And I knew him when he was decked out in maroon and white. And I'll just go and tell you, when he was at State, he wasn't a fan of Ole Miss. But he made a point. He's like, I get to work with one of the best coaches in college football who gave me an opportunity. I'm coaching a team that I think is going to have a chance to play for a national title next year. And I'm making a ton of connections, and I'm taking care of my family. This was the right decision for me. Yeah, he's right. That is the right decision for him. And I think I know Cody pretty well that he doesn't have any regrets over it, and he shouldn't. Because these guys, it's just a job to them. And I'll just tell you that, you know, let's say Lebby gets Mississippi State rolling and, you know, 6-7 wins this year, maybe 9, you know, these are hypotheticals, 9 next year, and then bam, he's off to a 10-11 win season. And let's say Kalen DeBoer doesn't get the job done at Alabama. Well, there's a good chance Jeff Lebby, you know, would be on the list to go to Alabama. Or if Kiffin left, he might be on the list to go back to Ole Miss. And if he thought that made sense for him, he might do it. And that's something that I think gets lost on a lot of fans sometimes is just, you know, these guys are not the same as you and I, you know. But at the same time, and I've said this 100,000 times, and I truly believe it, there's a price for everybody. I believe in the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase philosophy on that. That there's a number that somebody at Ole Miss could be like, hey, come work here. And there's a number that they could give. It may be a stupid, ridiculous number. It might be 7 figures to do menial work. So be it. But there is that number. It exists for all of us. And it exists on the other side, too. There's a number. You don't think that if tomorrow Neil Price retired and Zach Selman called Richard and said, I want you to be the voice of the Bulldogs, that I wouldn't be looking for a house for him in Starkville? I would be. I would be. Saban can wake up tomorrow and say, I never have to work again. Yeah, that's probably, well, that's unfortunate. That's not what he's doing. He's going to be in a TV. So, should have made him the interim coach at State. Well, that's hindsight is 20/20 on that one. I agree with you now. At the time, it made sense. At the time, I thought it made sense. But, we learned that Zach Arnett was just not ready to be a head coach at that time. Good defensive coach. Good guy. I wonder if I'll see him, you know, next time I'm in Oxford. But wasn't ready to be a head coach in the SEC. So it is what it is. Josh from Laura. If Ole Miss offered to pay me to be a fan, I'd give me free tickets, I would say no. He would say no. Yeah, I you say that, Josh. There's a number. There's a number. It exists. Exists for all of us, my friend, on both sides. It's just college football. Of course, it's also college football, so maybe it isn't. I don't know. Back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's finish things up here on Thunder and Lightning. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down in studio, X. Don't forget, if you're still listening, you're still listening. But if you've been cut off by the Ole Miss baseball game, I will have that podcast up in its entirety a little later on this evening, along with tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, where we're just waiting on future Brian to tell us the details of the Mississippi State Texas A&M game, which tips off just over an hour from now from College Station. ESPNU is why I got to call my mom when we get off the air. I told her ESPN. That's what Google said. My mom is one of those people. She's, you know, she's old, and she's like, Brian, she needs to know what channel the game is on. So I tell her because I'm a good son. So I will call her when we get out of here and let her know what channel the game is on. It's on ESPNU. Okay. Yeah. So, big game for State. Quad one game. Also, just in, we were talking earlier about net games and how things are fluid. Right now, Northwestern beating Michigan State at the half. That is a quad one. I'm pretty sure that game is in East Lansing. So if that is, that's a quad one game for Northwestern. They could move up back into the top 50 and back into the top, into a quad one win for Mississippi State. So State with the possibility, if they win tonight and a Northwestern can jump back into the top 50, they could have two more quad one wins on their resume when the net rankings are released tomorrow. I think if, regardless of what happens with that game, if State wins, they will be in the mid-20s, depending on how the game goes. If State wins, if they can win like they won against LSU, if they can win by 17, 18 points, then they have a chance for a big jump, maybe jump. They're 33rd right now. They could jump to like 26, something like that. But let's not forget, State's not favored in this game, which is crazy. When you look at the records, you would think State would be a big favorite. They're not. And State's been a bad road team this year, only two wins on the road. I'm sure that plays into it, though. But A&M is a 2.5-point favorite over Mississippi State in this game. So, of course, that leads into a huge weekend here in Starkville. We've got home baseball coming up against Evansville, home basketball Saturday. The women are in the SEC tournament. They start that tournament tomorrow against Texas A&M. That's a must-win for the ladies, for Sam Purcell's squad. They, I think the last thing I saw, they were in the last four in for the NCAA women's tournament. So they need a win. And that five-game losing streak they went on was not good for their tournament chance. They went from a place where they were playing for seeding to they were struggling to get in. So if they can beat Texas A&M, a team they've already beaten once this year, they should be okay. They should be okay. But if they don't, they will be sweating that selection show when it's all said and done. So a lot going on. It's that time of year, right? It's March. You know, baseball starting to heat up. Basketball reaching the postseason. Spring football starts, I think, 2 weeks from tomorrow. I think is when it starts here at Mississippi State. And as I mentioned, tomorrow afternoon I'll be speaking with head coach Jeff Lebby. So we'll put that interview up on the Thunder and Lightning podcast just as soon as I finish it. Looking forward to that conversation, though. I've spoken to Lebby once on Sports Talk Mississippi since he took the job, but have not spoken to him since. And looking forward to getting his thoughts as he gets ready for his first spring here in Starkville and what he thinks of his first couple of months on the job and the team that he has and what's going on here and his plans for the future at Mississippi State. So it should be I hope it'll be an interesting interview. And like I said, it'll be available tomorrow, let's say probably not long before Sports Talk Mississippi kicks on the air. That's with me and Michael Borky because Richard Cross is on vacation. Imagine that. Rhino, how long has Richard worked for this company that he's piled up 3 months of personal time off? He must have been here like day one. Like Steve Davenport starts the company. Richard was his first hire, right? When he was five. And he's just been accruing vacation days ever since. Well, it's the craziest thing.
His real name is Dorian Gray.
The portrait of Richard Cross. Somebody write that. Is anybody a literature major out there? I don't know. Richard does not have to promo the show. I know it's coming on. I rarely miss it. If I do miss it, it's my wife's fault. Don't blame your wife, Dwayne. Don't do that. You get yourself in trouble. Oh, goodness. You don't want to do that. Don't blame your wife for anything, even if it is her fault. Just take the punch and move on. So we'll see. All right, big game tonight for the Bulldogs. What happens in that one, we'll find out, and we'll talk about it on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, plus a lot more for you on tomorrow's show. Sports Talk Mississippi, 3 o'clock tomorrow, me and Michael Borky. It'll be a lot of fun. Until next week, though, I'll be right back here on Thunder and Lightning Live. For Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.